All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms. The 23rd Psalm, we've been preaching through, just starting last week, this 23rd Psalm. We looked at the first verse last week. We're going to look at verse 2 this morning. So let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful Psalm and the wondrous truths that we can find out about you. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to lead us into more truth about you this morning as we look at you as our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord, yes. Yes, Children's Church. There's Dick. Go with Dick. Follow him. Last week we just looked at the Lord as my shepherd. And if you remember, we were talking about David who wrote this psalm. And David looked at the Lord, and he knew some attributes about the Lord. And so he took the name Jehovah, or Lord, and he applied an attribute to that and came up with a new name for God. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He is Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then he looked at and he said that the Lord is my provider, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And then he took the name Jehovah and he added it to the word Rapha, which means healer. Jehovah is my healer. And then he thought about it some more and he said, you know, the Lord is my peace. And so, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, my peace. And he continued to think about God and what God was like. And he says, God is righteous. And so, Jehovah Tistenu, the Lord is my righteousness. And then he considered that the shepherd was there with him at all times with the sheep. And so he said, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, my continual presence. And then one more name for Jehovah that David thought of, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah is the one who fights my battles. And as you go through the 23rd Psalm, you can see all of these names and the application that David makes to Jesus being our shepherd. And for example, today, when he's talking here in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. David is thinking of Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Now, sheep in the Middle East get up and begin to graze about 4, 5 in the morning. The shepherd begins to lead them out of the sheepfold and takes them out there where there's still dew on the grass. It's very quiet. And the sheep are able to graze and just browse and nibble there. Then later in the morning, about 10, 11 o'clock, as it gets to be very, very hot, if at all possible, the shepherd will lead his sheep to a place, a secluded place, hopefully where there's some shelter to get the sheep out of the heat of the day, but to lead it to a place where there's some green grass, where the sheep can lie down and chew its cud and ruminate. And it's during this time that the sheep begins to grow, get strong, the wool becomes thick, and the shepherd knows that at this time the sheep is maturing and it's fattening up, but it needs this time of rest because it's important for his sheep to have a quiet time in order for those sheep to grow. Now, I read a little story, thought was kind of interesting. I don't know if it's a true story or not. Hopefully it isn't. But it was about an airplane that was lost over the ocean in the middle of a hurricane. The captain decided it was time to let the passengers know about their dilemma. So he turned on the intercom. He said, I have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that our guidance system has malfunctioned and we have no way of knowing where we are or which way we are going. The good news, we're making great time. You know, as I thought about that, I thought there are a lot of people on the plane. We have no direction, no idea where we're going, what direction we're headed, but we're making good time. Is that true about people today? They're all dressed up, but they're going nowhere. Or they're all stressed up and nowhere to go. You can just kind of test. I see the stress that people are under today, and we think, you know, is it wrong for us to be quiet? Is it wrong for us to have a time of rest and to be still? Heard about a woman who called her pastor up, and she said, "Pastor, I tried all day Monday to get a hold of you. I just couldn't get a hold of you. I wanted to talk to you." And he said, "Well," he said, "Monday's my day off." And he said, "You know, I was just resting." And she said, "Well, Pastor, you know, the devil never takes a day off." The pastor said, "Yeah, and if I didn't, I'd be just like the devil." It's important for us to rest and to find peace. God wants his sheep to learn how to be quiet and to lie down in green pastures and drink from still waters. They tell us that sheep in the Middle East will not drink from rushing, gurgling streams. There's plenty of streams like that in the Middle East, where the springs come out of the mountainside and the water rushes down through the ravine. But the sheep are afraid to drink out of that. And so they look for quiet pools. They look for still waters. The shepherd leads them, verse 2, "So he leadeth me beside the still waters." Now, talk about stress this morning. We are stressed out because we're like sheep. And I want to talk to you this morning about how to handle stress, all right? I think we all have stress. And I want you to know why we're stressed. It's because we're like sheep. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's how God describes us. God describes us as the sheep of his pasture. You say, "Isn't that wonderful? I'm a sheep." Well, God wasn't exactly complimenting us when he called us sheep. It's a description. It's not really a compliment. You know why? Please don't be offended this morning. I'm one of you. But sheep are dumb. How many of you have ever gone to a circus? You ever been to a circus? Everybody seen a trained sheep at the circus? You got lions and tigers and even elephants, but I've never seen a trained sheep in the circus. Now, in the spiritual realm, okay, this is what we're going to talk about, because I know that there are a lot of you that are intellectuals. You're smart, very intelligent. But in the spiritual realm, Jesus had this to say to Nicodemus, who was very intelligent, a master in Israel, a Pharisee at the top of the class, but Jesus had to say to him in John chapter 3 and verse 10, "Are you a master in Israel and you don't know these things?" You see, intellectually he's up here. Spiritually, not so much. He was down there. The Bible says, "There's none that understandeth," Romans chapter 3. So in the spiritual realm, we're like sheep. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are also defenseless. You know, other animals can defend themselves fairly well. A mule can kick, a lion can bite, a tiger can scratch, a skunk, well, you know what a skunk can do. A snake can strike, but a sheep, what does a sheep have? Really, their antlers, their horns are not much to fight with. Sheep have poor muscle tone. They can't see very well. They can't hear very well. A sheep is pretty much defenseless. They depend upon a shepherd. They need somebody to defend them. And so I think that's the way we are. And that's why the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3 in verse 5, our sufficiency is of God, because we don't have it within ourselves. The third thing about a sheep is that they are directionless. They do not have a good sense of direction. They are easily lost. And what does the Bible say in Isaiah 53, 6? All we like sheep have gone what? We've gone astray. Sheep will browse. They will nibble here. They will nibble there. And what happens is they get further and further away from the fold. They get further and further away from the shepherd, from the rest of the flock. And then the bad thing is sheep don't know how to get back. Okay, so they're out there wandering and they get lost and they can't find their way home. You got to think about it again. Cows can come back to the barn. The horse knows the way back to the stable. The dog can come home. You've heard of homing pigeons, but I've never heard of a homing sheep. They don't come back, so they have to be sought. They have to be brought. That's the nature of a sheep. And the Bible says, we are like sheep. What did God have to say about his people in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 7? He says, my people are bent to backsliding from me. You know what that means in plain English? In plain English, it means we have a tendency to get away from God. We have a tendency to move away from God. Think about it. We sang the song this morning. We did not plan it, but I was blessed to see that it was on the list. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's the Christian, as it, we are compared to sheep. That is the nature. So when we think about sheep and we think about their ignorance and we think about their weakness and we think about their defenselessness and their tendency to get lost, we see how the sheep is so dependent on somebody to take care of it. A sheep is so dependent. Mr. Keller, who wrote the book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, said that sheep can sometimes become what they call cast, C-A-S-T. That is, it rolls over on its back and it can't get back up. It's stuck there. It doesn't have enough muscle, doesn't have enough athletic ability to roll over from its back to stand up. Well, you can imagine that if a sheep lays in this position for too long, it's in trouble. Not only are the predators, not only is it vulnerable to vultures and to wolves and so forth, but he says that there are gases that build up in the sheep's stomach and the circulation is cut off, and that sheep will die. If that sheep does not get turned over, it will die. It just becomes bloated and it dies. It's called a cast sheep. I wonder if that's what David had in mind when he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You know, there's sometimes when we're just cast down, when we're discouraged, we're depressed, we're all stressed out. We can't seem to get rolled over and to stand on our own two feet. Let me tell you, that's what Jesus does, though. He comes for us and he turns us over and he sets us on our feet again. He restores my soul. And I'm sure that there are times in your life, as in mine, when we're down and we just can't help ourselves back up. Thank God for the shepherd. Thank God for the shepherd. Now, God calls you a sheep. That's not necessarily a compliment, but you are the sheep of his pasture. And he loves you and he cares for you. Secondly, how do we handle stress? If we are stressful, how do we handle it? I believe verse 2 there in Psalm 23 has a lot to say about how to handle stress. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Let me talk to you about three things this morning. There are probably more, but let's give you three. First of all, there's security. We have security in the shepherd. I am secure in Jesus. You see, he leads me. He leads me. He makes me. Sometimes the Lord has to make us do things. Who is he? He is Jehovah Ra. He is Jehovah Shepherd, the great shepherd. Remember last week we talked about three names for the shepherd in the New Testament? Jesus is the good shepherd because he died for us. Jesus is the great shepherd because he lives for us. And Jesus is the chief shepherd because he's coming again for us. And I tell you, knowing that about him gives me some security in my life. I am the good shepherd. I am the great shepherd. I am the chief shepherd. But what are some of the characteristics of this shepherd? Well, if we go through the Bible, we can find some characteristics of the shepherd. First one is compassion. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, the Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad like sheep." Like sheep having no shepherd. When Jesus saw the multitudes of people, his heart went out to them with compassion because he said, "These are like sheep with no shepherd." It's interesting that word, moved, in Matthew 9:36. It's a very powerful word. It literally means to convulse, convulsed. In John, when describing compassion, he calls it bowels of compassion. It's right there in the gut. Jesus has that kind of compassion for you. He knows your hurts. But not only does he know them, he invests whatever is necessary to heal those hurts. It gets him right here in the stomach, right in the pit of his stomach. He's moved with compassion to you. Has the idea of compassion of feeling or suffering or passion. Jesus was convulsed. Jesus was feeling passion. He was hurting when he saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. No wonder he came to be the good shepherd. No wonder he came to die for us. Second characteristic about the shepherd was that he was caring. I'll give you one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible, I think. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. "He shall feed his flock like a what? Like a shepherd." We're the flock. He's the shepherd. He's promised to feed us. "He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." Isn't that great? Aren't you glad that the Lord is so tender toward us? He says, "Cast all your care on him because he cares for you." He's a caring God who doesn't give us what we deserve. But he comes to carry us. He carries us in his bosom. You know, when the lamb is weak and he takes those little baby Christians, those lambs, he picks them up, he puts them in his bosom, and he carries them. You see, our shepherd is compassionate, and he's caring, he's gentle. The third thing, characteristic of the shepherd, is that he's courageous. He's courageous. I love that about our Lord. In John chapter 10, that great chapter that deals with the good shepherd, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," in verse 10. Then he says something wonderful in verse 11. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." The hireling fleeth, runs. He's only concerned about himself. But the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now the wolves are after meat. Church, the wolves are after you. Peter feared that after they departed, grievous wolves would come in and devour the sheep. There's many enemies that the sheep has, the lion, the wolf, the bear, even wild dogs and scavengers of all kinds. Jesus said there's such a thing as a false shepherd, the one that's only paid by the hour, a hireling. He'll flee, he'll leave the sheep, but he said a good shepherd will fight for his sheep. I remember, you probably do too, reading in the Bible, when Lazarus had died and Jesus said, let's go to Jerusalem. And the disciples said, Lord, don't go there. Lord, things are beginning pretty hostile. Things are heating up. Lord, if you go there, you're going to get hurt. No, really, Lord, if you go there, they're going to kill you. Don't go to Jerusalem, whatever you do. And the Bible says this about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. It says, he set his face like a flint. That's courage. Walking into the midst of the danger, but being willing to do that because there's a sheep there that needs him. You may be weak, but you have a compassionate shepherd. You have a caring shepherd. You have a courageous shepherd. The hireling flees, but the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then Jesus says something interesting also in John chapter 10 there in verse 7. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Well, what is he? Is he the shepherd or is he the door? He's both. He's both. Because what the shepherd would do is he would build a sheepfold. He would gather rocks or whatever else he could find in the area. And he would use those materials and he would build like a wall, almost completely filled in square. But he would leave an opening in that fold. And you know what the shepherd would do? He would lay down in that opening. He became the door. After all the sheep are counted for and they're all in the pasture, they're all in the fold, the shepherd would take his staff and he would lay down in the door. Nothing could come in or go out without passing through the shepherd. I want you to know that in your life, Jesus has placed you securely in his fold. There's nothing that can go in or out without passing through him. He'd not allow anything in your life that would not be for your good, for your best interest. He is the door of the sheepfold. He's the door of the sheep. And I believe that he's saying to us this morning that he wants to be our security and he wants to be our safety. He maketh me, he leadeth me. We may be weak like sheep, but we have a strong shepherd. He's the good shepherd who gave his life for you. He's the great shepherd because he lives for you as your shepherd. I see security. I also see sufficiency. He maketh me to lie down in brown, withered pastures. Is that it? He leadeth me beside muddy streams and dried up brooks. No, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. See, all that I need, I find in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to memorize those names that David had for God, and so that you can apply them to your lives as you have need of the Lord in those areas. You see here, though, we get stressed out because we think our needs are not going to be met. We say, oh, my goodness, here is a need that I cannot meet. Something in my life that I cannot deal with in my strength, my power. And we get all stressed out about that. But over there in Matthew, where our Lord is telling us not to worry, he tells us what people worry about. He mentions, don't worry about what you're going to eat. That's food. Or what you're going to wear. That's our clothing. That's our fashion. In fact, let me give you what people worry about. They all start with F. food, friends, fame, fortune, fashion, and fitness. And Jesus said, don't worry about these things. These are the things that the Gentiles seek after. And when he's talking about Gentiles there, he's talking about the unsaved. He said, don't worry about these things. These are the things that the unsaved people think about and worry about. He's not saying they're not important, because they are. But he's saying, don't worry about that, because he tells us in the next verse, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of these things that we have need of will be added to us, will be given to us as well. You see, Jesus really is our satisfaction. In him, our deepest needs can be met. But apart from him, there will not be satisfaction. There will be a sense of need. Now, he's talking about green pastures and still waters. He's not necessarily talking about having a full bank account. If you remember last week, we talked about the Trinity of Psalms, Psalm 22, 23, and 24. They go together, but go back to Psalm 22 and look at verse 26. It says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. What shall they eat? Well, look at the rest of that verse. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. You see, that praise is food. You know what happened when you came to church this morning and you began to join in the singing and the praise and worship? Your soul was being fed. Your spirit was being satisfied this morning as you came and you worshiped the Lord. And all that be fat, verse 29. God wants you fat. You say amen. No. God wants you healthy. He wants healthy sheep. And so what does the green grass talk about? It talks about praise. It talks about worship. It talks about his word. And then the still waters. And I believe the still waters are the still waters of his spirit. Be still and know that he is God. You're going to find, church, you're going to find your satisfaction in him. And what happens if you don't find satisfaction? If there's not contentment in life, there's stress. So you find satisfaction in the shepherd, or we find stress in life. And I'll tell you why you're going to be stressed. Because the deepest needs of your heart will never be met. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4? Whoops. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the Bible is to you what bread is to the natural man. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They're the ones that are going to be satisfied. The word blessed, do you know what it means? It literally means happy or satisfied. It means to be contented and to be joyful. You can take a whole bunch of words and you can roll them into one, and you come up with this idea of blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you know people today that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness? I hope you are. I hope that's what you are hungering and thirsting after. But I'm afraid there's not many people in the world today, and that's why there's so much stress. Blessed are those who seek after blessedness. Blessed are those who seek after happiness. No, blessed are those who seek after righteousness. You know who the most unhappy people in the world are? The people who are trying to be happy. Seriously. Because it's so elusive. And so they're unhappy. They're always chasing down happiness, and they're not finding happiness. You know how you find happiness? You accidentally stumble over it as you seek Christ. That's how you find happiness. I was just at a pastor's meeting on Monday. there was 10 of us that got together, and all Assembly of God pastors, and one of the guys brought up a book that's written by one of these preachers today who just want you to, you know, feel good type preachers. And they were mentioning the book, and they said, you know, in this book, the author says that 99% of the people in your church don't want truth. They just want to be told how to be happy. So you know what the conclusion was? Preach to the 99%. But you know what happens if you preach on happiness? You don't find it. Because only as you talk about truth, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after what? Happiness? No, after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So the only way to find satisfaction in life is to seek after the Lord and His righteousness. And then all these things that we have need of, very real things in our life, I'm not saying they're not real, I'm not saying they're not needful, but they will be given to us as well. They'll be a byproduct of us seeking God and righteousness. Happiness is something you never find by looking for. It's found when you seek and serve Jesus. Unhappiness comes from self-centeredness and sin, and God has engineered it that way. In fact, God has so engineered it that you cannot be happy without Jesus. And I'm glad that He did. I want you to notice this verse that's up on the screen. And all we need to do is look at that part that's underlined. It says, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." Do you see that? I wondered about this. See, I always thought the ground was cursed as part of the judgment that God gave. But He says, "Cursed is the ground for your sake." He said, "I put a curse on the ground. Thorns and thistles will it bring forth to you." You pick a rose and you hit the stem, what do you say? Ouch. If you were to walk on a thistle, what are you going to say? Ouch. Here's the thing. God wants thorns in your life. God wants your roses to be thorny. You know why? Because the worst thing that could ever happen to a sinful man would be to have a diseased heart and live in paradise. If we enjoyed life apart from God, that would be the worst thing that could ever happen to us. And so God brings thorns and thistles into our life so that we are not satisfied with only what this life has to offer, but we would seek Him and then find true satisfaction. So God gives you thorns. God gives you problems. God gives you heartaches. To say, hey, there's something wrong in this world. What's wrong anyway? Well, there's something wrong because there's not righteousness. And so it leads us to seek Him and His righteousness so that we can be filled. Now, most people are trying to get rid of the thorns, right? Get rid of the thorns, get rid of the thistles, but not deal with the problem that caused them. I know I have a tendency to, if we have thistles in our yard, mow over them. Just take the lawnmower. You know what? They come back, don't they? Debbie's always after me, get a shovel. Dig it out. Get down to the root. Or they're just going to come back. Suppose you go to the doctor and you've got a terrible headache, you've got a fever, you've got pain, you've got swelling. And evidently, there's an infection inside of you. But all the doctor does is give you some strong medicine to kill the pain and reduce the fever. But he never deals with the infection. That's not a very good doctor. I would recommend a different doctor. You know, we don't want to get rid of the pain, yeah. But we also want to get rid of the infection, right? Because that's where the problem is. You see, there are a lot of people that are trying to be happy today, but they're only treating symptoms. If I can do this, then maybe I can find happiness. But if you'll seek after righteousness, you'll be dealing with the infection. Seek righteousness, and then you'll be happy. You'll deal with the stress. And so we are to lie down in green pastures. What is that? The green pastures are His word. It's praise. It's worship. That's green pastures. And then He also leads beside still waters. That's his spirit. He makes me drink of the still waters of His spirit. I want to help you so that the deepest needs of your heart and life are met. If you worship God, if you praise the Lord, if you drink of His Spirit, if you feed on His Word, that's sufficiency. And the deepest needs of your life will be met. We'll continue this, look at some more things about the green pastures next week. But I wonder here today if there are any of you that's feeling a little bit stressed out. And I want to give you the opportunity today to come to the green pastures and the still waters. I'm going to have the worship team come back, and they're going to sing, and we're just going to continue to praise and worship the Lord. And if you would desire this morning, I'll just encourage you to step out from where you're at and come to the altar. And come to the green pasture and seek God's Spirit, the still waters. Maybe you're here today and you have a need. Can I remind you of the names of Jehovah that David put together? Maybe you're here today and you need some direction in your life. The Lord is your shepherd. He's come to lead you. He's come to give you guidance. Maybe you're here today and you have some kind of financial need. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. Maybe you're here today and you need a touch in your body. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that heals you. Maybe you're here today and you just don't have peace. Jesus is Jehovah Shalom. He is your peace. He's the God of peace. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with some sin. Or maybe it's the guilt over some sin. He is Jehovah Tistenu. He is the Lord, your righteousness. And then maybe you're here today and you're feeling lonely. There's something too big for you to go through alone. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is the Lord who's always with you, whose presence is always there. And maybe you're today and you're fighting some battle. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord your banner. The battle is the Lord's, as David said, and He will give you, giant, into my hand. So as we sing today and as we worship, think about what you're doing. You are feeding in green pastures. And as you're worshiping in the Spirit this morning, you're being led by still waters. Church, this is the time when you can grow. This is the time when you can get strong. This is the time when you can mature. So I'd like everybody to stand. We're not going to keep you a long time this morning, but I want to give you this opportunity. If you come, I'll try to pray with you. I can't promise. Depends on how many people come. But if you would like to come this morning, just invite you to come as we sing and call on the name of the Lord. Be led in green pastures, be led to still waters.